Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, and it's September 19th, year 2010, and it's also the feast day, St. Januarius. Now, we're just going to make two brief mentions about some political stuff that took place last week. One of them was from this Tea Party that you're beginning to hear about. And the thing I will say about that, they seem to be one of the lesser of the evils. They're still evil, and because they support democracy. But some of the things that they're trying to rise up against are some of these things that are going against God's natural laws, like homosexual marriages and abortion. They're against abortion. But some of the things they're rising up against, like, are because they're greedy capitalists also, because they want to have bigger, fancier homes and all that. But not all of them. I think there's some kind of a backlash here with some people that have some of the natural law on their heart, and they haven't got rid of it all. And they see that society's becoming more and more godless, more and more evil when it comes to violating the natural laws. And also, they're all heretics, no matter what political party you look at. So you're not going to find any political party that's Catholic, and you're not going to find any political party that condemns Israel, because they won't even let them get off of first base. So you're never going to win on those areas. But as far as the lesser of evils are, this Tea Party seems to be having some things that they're pushing forward, where the people are rising up saying, I'm sick of illegal immigration, of crime in the big cities, not punishing criminals. I'm sick of this abortion lobby that has been winning all these years, obstinate homosexuals running around, homosexual marriages and all this kind of the so-called marriages. And so there's a backlash taking place here. And that's what's beginning to happen. And these politicians are a little nervous. They want to go wherever they get the votes. This Tea Party associated itself with the Republican Party loosely, and it may end up completely splitting, being its own party. But what happened this week anyway, one of the members of the Tea Party, Christine O'Donnell in Delaware, is running for the Senate, and it was for the Republican Senate primary. And she beat the guy that was the incumbent, I think, or either a guy or the woman. I think it was a guy. Well, she's from the Tea Party, and they're panicking. She's a so-called Catholic, by the way. She openly said it. She goes, well, I'm a practicing Catholic. Well, she's not a Catholic. So first of all, I got to tell you, you're not Catholic. You're a heretic. You're an apostate. So that's the first thing people need to know. She's not a true Catholic. And you're going to need to know that, especially when you hear some of the things that she's teaching, which she's not hard enough. Now, and she's holding on to heresies and all that. Of course, she would have never gotten this high in any political arena unless she's already into some really deep heresy. But what they came out when she won the primary, because she upset them, they said, uh-oh, these extremists, she's an extremist, and she's going to get elected. We're going to have trouble. We got extremists. And they used an example of what was one of her things that she was extreme on. And they said, well, did you know that she said that when you look at pornography, it's like cheating on your spouse. It's like committing adultery. So she was condemning pornography. Well, there, that's a good thing. That on the natural plane, she got some graces from the true God, even though she doesn't know him. But the Catholic God still gave her graces because she said that. That's a good stance. That's a truthful teaching. That's a natural law. That's what pagans can even know. How is it we call that extreme? So if that's extreme, what are they really saying? Pornography is normal. Cheating on your spouse is normal. So husband and wives, when you get married in the United States, go out next week and start cheating on them. That's normal. That's not extreme. That's not evil. Looking at pornography is not evil. Naked people doing filthy things, filthy, disgusting, horrible things, that's not extreme. Well, if you want to call it extreme, I'll say it's extreme. It's extreme evil. It's extreme ugliness. And what she was teaching in this particular arena is normalcy, the natural law, something you may say extremely good. Don't look at pornography. It's evil. Don't commit adultery. That's the sixth commandment, right, children? The sixth commandment. And that now we've gotten so bad in this world, this giant Sodom and Gomorrah world, that a belief like that is called evil or extreme. Extreme really means evil. Well, my point is, okay, we do have two opposing views there. And the twain shall never meet. How is it that you could say that getting men and women to do filthy things, that getting young girls and corrupting their brains and filming them doing dirty things is not extremely evil? How could you say that a husband and wife gets married and said, you're the only one that I'm going to, as my wife and husband, that we're going to have relationships, and then they can go out next week to the neighbor's wife and cheat and fool around on them? How upside down is business world, the people that are in power, and most of the citizens who go along with it, they're the ones that are extreme. They're the ones that are evil. I'm just trying to show you how far the scale has moved here. But the worst part about this whole thing you're going to hear right now is that this Christine O'Donnell, when she was interviewed and asked, what about your opinion that you said that if you look at pornography, it's like committing adultery on your spouse? She said, I said that when I was young. I have now matured. I no longer hold that position. That's what she said. You matured. You mature, you mean you grew out of the natural law? You've learned how to do evil real good? I'll tell you what she matured in. Politics. United States politics. Democracy politics. Americanism. That says whatever most of the people believe is not only something I need to believe too so I can get elected, but it makes it good and true. Whatever the most people believe is good and true. Because most people now commit adultery. Because most people now look at pornography. I've now matured, and I allow pornography. I now say you can look at it. And if she's married, I say, I hope her husband goes out next week and commits adultery on her. I hope he does it next week. I hope he's doing it right now. You matured. You know why she's doing it? Because she wants to get elected. That's the poison of politics in a democracy. Like, because you have to sway to the people. And when you go by what most people think, you're going to do evil. Because Jesus Christ said most people are evil. Most people do evil. Most people believe in evil things. So by default, if you follow that democracy principle, you're going to do evil. I would estimate, I'm not listening to her when she goes home, that she would still say that it is evil. But she's only doing that to get elected. But that's just the same thing as denying the natural law in public. If you privately, she's sort of saying, this is close to what she's saying, I've learned how to separate my personal beliefs with my political life. So what comes first in her life? Her political beliefs and not God. So she'd rather support sins that God condemns and support God who condemns sins. And they're supposed to be the religious party, the Tea Party. They're always talking about God now, Glenn Beck and all those guys. Well, they don't really believe in the true God, but if you're going to be upholding the natural law, then be consistent. But you know, they even waffle, you can see it, because now in the beginning they were against all abortions, then just partial birth abortions. Well, then I'll allow it for if the woman's raped. They all go down to the left, they all become liberalized. But for her to say this, it's what Arnold Schwarzenegger did when he was running for the governor in California, and I know it. I know up until that time when that guy was running for governor, if you would have asked him about homosexual unions or homosexual marriages and homosexuals, he would have said, it's an abomination, it's against the natural law, like some people do. But when he was running for politics and he was put on the spot on a homosexual issue, he backed off and supported the homosexual unions, and he didn't denounce or condemn them, he even supported them. Why did he do that? So he can get elected in California, because you got a lot of fruitcakes out there. You know what a fruitcake is? That's what we used to call the homosexuals. They're queers. The homosexuals are the fruitcakes. You can have a lot of names on it. But why did he support them? Because he wanted to get elected. Why did President Kennedy deny multiple dogmas when he was inquired about religious liberty and other religions and faiths, where he said all religions have the right from God to worship and to practice their own religions, they're all equal? And other heresies, which I'm going to give you an interview on, Kenny, the stuff that guy believed will make your head spin. He denied everything that's a syllabus of error condemned. Kennedy denied it because he would never get elected as president. So why do these people do these things? Because they rather put the politics and evil people over the natural law, which God put on their heart. Well, woe to you. Your husband should commit adultery on you, and then you should fall prey to demons of lust and go out and meet somebody on your political trail and commit adultery on your husband. And you have no right then to complain when other people do it. How could you? She goes, I matured. I no longer believe pornography is evil. You call that maturing? Well, if you want to call that maturing in one way, I'd say that's maturing in evil. I would say that's growing up in evil. Remember the Lord said, my people have grown up in evil. My people have learned how to do evil. My people have progressed from doing evil to evil to evil, to going from one evil to another evil. And now she's saying this because she's running for a high office as senator, and she knows she'll never get elected with that type of attitude, because everybody, almost everybody in this country looks at pornography. They may not be all homosexuals, but they're adulterers. And every time you look at a filthy picture like that, you are fornicating. Jesus said, even if you look at a woman with a fornication in your mind, Matthew 5:28, I say to you, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Every piece of pornography you look at and you entertain is a mortal sin against the sixth commandment. So what she said was true 40 years ago, and she matured. Now either it's not true or it's still true, but that truth you put down and you move the devil and evil above God. This is what happened this week with this Christine O'Donnell. So I'm trying to tell these people what some of the people are really looking for, and I still believe there's about 15 to 20% of the people in this country that are fed up with this crap, that really want to go with the whole program of God's Ten Commandments, even though they don't have the First Commandment yet, they don't have the Catholic faith yet. But I do believe there's some goodwill people out there who are fed up with this stuff, and until I get somebody who's going to come out and say, I condemn homosexual unions, homosexual marriages, and homosexuals, period. It's a sin against Almighty God. I condemn all abortions, and don't hold back, and don't buckle, and don't waver. You know, and this is not happening. And it may never be able to happen in this country because you'll never get that popular. One thing you're never going to get, though, and this is they're going to come out and condemn Israel, too. Because that needs to be done, too. Israel's an absolute antichrist state. The Jews control the world. They're the ones behind all these evil plots and finances. But we're doing that now, so let us be your party. Call it the Catholic Party, if you want. Because that's the only true good party that's going to give you everything you need, and most importantly, what you need to save your soul. So I'm preaching to people like this Christine O'Donnell. Stop it before it's too late. Stop compromising. I want to hear you come out and say, no, I blew it. I made a big mistake. I denied the natural law by saying that I matured. I didn't mature. I still believe it. Pornography stinks. It's evil. It's ugly. Adultery stinks, and it's ugly. And how dare you call me extreme for having a faithful, trying to have a faithful husband and wife stay together with one another and not cheat on one another. That's become evil? That's become evil? If that's evil, then why isn't the government going to all the houses and pull out all the spouses that have not yet committed adultery and force them to do so? But you know they don't even have to do that because almost everyone's doing it anyway. But the few people that aren't doing it, and there might be 15, 20% of people are going to listen to this. And I'm telling you, don't put your hope in the Tea Party. Don't put your hope in the Republica. These people, it's not capable. They're not capable of doing these things. Although when it comes to election time, the lesser of evils, you would be voting for one who has the lesser of the evils. But they're still evil. Ultimately, what you've got to do is support us and come into the Catholic Church and get on the right side, because these people aren't going to save you. Now, the other lesson I want to talk about is, this week, the French President Sarkozy, the Freemason, of course he's a Freemason. Anyway, Freemason or not, he finally did something right this week. He did something right. I can't think of anything else he did right, but at least he did one thing right. And maybe he's trying to do another thing right, and it backfired on him. But what he did this week was he kicked out all the gypsies from France. They call them the Romani. There's words to gypsies. I know gypsies very well. My father is a Hungarian Jew. He's a Hungarian. And he had a lot of gypsies come to him when he was a doctor in Newark, New Jersey. Gypsies are one of the most evil people in the whole world. Don't let people lie to you when they tell you gypsy. They turn gypsy into like a race. It's not really a racial thing. Gypsies come from Hungary, from Romania. They say they began in Romania. That's why they call them the Romani. But you can have an Italian gypsy, an Irish gypsy, and you can have... gypsies come in different races. It's a religion. Gypsies are pikers. Pikers mean thieves. They steal. They rob. They practice divination and witchcraft. They are evil. And I've seen a lot of evil people in my life. And when these gypsies would come to my father, because his office was in the house we lived in, they were the most evil, cunning, deceitful, conniving, filthy, witchcraft people. And why I say people? Because it's a religion. Don't let people lie to you about gypsies. They are evil. Everything that I try to tell you that Hitler was evil about is why he was good. It was what he was good about. Did you know that Hitler abhorred apostate Jews and gypsies and really despised their ways? Yeah, certainly. That was one of his very, very, very superbly good things. Are you crazy? Apostate Jews? Who are the ones behind the corruption of the world, if not apostate Jews? Take a look at the gypsies and what they did. See how Prophet Isaiah said, what do you call evil good and good evil? But Sarkozy came out and said, these gypsies were like infesting France. And I seen the pictures of them. I know the gypsies real well. My father was a sap for them. He was too nice. He should have really got a little rough on them. They used to come and rob my father. He was the doctor. My father would take care of people for free if they had no money. They could pay him with statues or little books. If they didn't have money, he'd operate on people right in here. If they couldn't go to the hospital and afford an operation, I used to help them. Hold people down when he was operating on them because they couldn't afford the hospital. He would get in trouble if they would have found out he's operating on people without bringing them to the hospital, but he would do it for people who had no money. So he was a sap. He was a little, not, that wasn't sappy. I don't mean that. That was okay. But what I'm trying to say, he was overly sappy with these gypsies. They would come into the waiting room, and my father had 50 people in the waiting room, and they would come in and they would fake, this one gypsy, her name was Gisela Horvat, and she would fake a heart attack. Oh, and she'd fall down in the middle of the floor and go, doctor, doctor, oh, my heart, I'm dying. And then he would say, what's going on out here in the waiting room? And all the people were, oh, okay, let her come in. We better take care of her. She got in ahead of all the 50 people. And I'm sure she was smiling on the way in. All right? Another story. The gypsy comes in. There's two people in the waiting room. It's the gypsies and this other patient. My father calls the patient in. And the patient says, Dr. Ibrani, my wallet is missing. Somebody stole my wallet. It can only be these gypsies. They're the only ones in there. I know they did it because there's no one else in the waiting room. So my father says, well, what am I going to do? So my father called the gypsies in and put them in another room, the gypsy lady that was there. And he says, take off your coat and I'm going to move you to another room. So then he went in and he looked through her coat and he found the wallet. She had it in a hidden place in her coat. My father called the police officer. We knew these Irish police officers. I think I was sergeant or captain. I forget the guy's name. It was Irish name. And the Irish police officer came and found it. And it was there. And I don't know how far he prosecuted the thing. But the wallet was given back. And they put them on the spot. Well, and caught the lady robbing the wallet. Another situation happened where there's about three or four patients in there. And a patient, my father knows, comes walking into the office. To the waiting room, and the gypsy's walking out with one of the statues that my father has there. And he says, where are you going with that? And he says, oh, the doctor asked us to repair the statue for them. No, he didn't. And then they put it down real quick and ran. Because they would steal anything. My father had to nail the radios to the wall because they would steal the radios. They would steal anything. So once the king and the queen of the gypsies came to my father to be taken care of, the big queen, they have their kings and queens and all. They're a weird society. They know how to rob, cheat, and steal in a way you can't even imagine. Came in, and my father said to the king and queen, I take care of your people. I'm one of the only doctors that will take care of your people. Why do they steal from me? And they said, you don't understand, doctor. According to our religion, we have to steal something every day. We have to steal wherever we go. Our kids have to steal, and if they don't steal, they didn't do their daily duty. So the next time a gypsy comes into your office, put a few cotton balls up on the top of the table so they can steal them and not take anything too expensive because they got to steal. They have their young gypsy kids come in to jewelry shops and they take gems and diamonds and they have the kid eat them and swallow them. But you know how they catch them sometimes? You have to wait till the kid goes to the bathroom and catch the diamond on the way out. And that's how you catch them. They would do stuff when they fake accidents. They would do one guy, they have all these accident claims. They would throw roaches into food and say, look, after they'd eat half the food and they would eat their meal, they'd say, there's a roach in here. And they would get away with not having to pay for the meal or even sue them and get money in the law court. They would have a situation, my father, this one gypsy, cars would turn a corner. When a car turns a corner, they would smack the back of the car and have a piece of glass and cut themselves with glass and fall down on the ground. Because when you got a scar, you get a lot of money. They would slip in an aisleway in a supermarket and put something there and fall down and sue the supermarket. These are the gypsies that they want you to believe, people, are good people, and how dare persecute these gypsies. They're evil, that's why. They're against the natural law. They're so bad that they're on the top of... God's using the gypsies to punish these countries. That's why France got infected by it in the first place. God allows evildoers to start to grow up. Even in one-time Catholic nations, because they're no longer Catholic. Why does God allow the Muslims and the gypsies to infiltrate France and take it over if they have not lost the faith long ago? So I want France to let them look back to their real roots that made them holy, which is the Catholic Church, the Catholic faith, when they're the daughter of Christ, when Clovis and Charlemagne and all the good holy kings, at one time when it was a Catholic country, at least where they had the Catholic rules and law of order. But these gypsies are evil beyond evil. But that one particular story, when my father finally sold off his office to this other doctor, it was a woman doctor from the Philippines, and she took over the office, the gypsies were going to her. And she called me up one day and said, "Richard, I can't take these gypsies, they're driving me crazy." And she says, "Can you get rid of them for me?" Oh, my face lit up. I said, "Can I get rid of them for you? I've been waiting for this day. I'll get rid of them instantly for you." Because what they did too, by the way, just before that happened, I had my optician shop hooked up on the side of the house there, a portion of the house where I was operating my shop out of. And I owned the house then. For my parents, I was paying it off. And some gypsies came in and stole the rug. "You ain't going to mess with me. I catch you, I'm going to get you." And they stole the rug out of the way. It was the doctor's rug. She was on the other side of the building with her office. Her name was Dr. Tori Madrid, and they stole her the rug. And she told me, I said, "They're not going to pull this nonsense here." So I waited for her to give me the okay. So then that Gisela Horvath, she was one of the worst ones with her daughter. You can always hear her. She came up, and Terry says, "Richard, they're up here in the office. They're bothering me. Please come up here." Because I was living in the basement. I ran up. I said, "You, get out of here right now. You're evil. You're a witch. You and your daughter, out. I don't want you back in here." Just like that. She goes, "Who are you? Who are you to talk to me like that? I own the place. I want you out of here right now. Out. You know, or else I'm going to kick you out." So the daughter's getting all upset. She's going to say, "Out." So she got out and she left. Well, what happened was the next day she came back because she was so angry. My wife and I were living in the basement. She came back and she was banging on the door the next day, the next morning. I said, "Who's banging on the door? It was early in the morning, we're sleeping." My wife goes up and opens the door. It was a Gisela Horvath and she tried to break into the house. So my wife slammed the door on her, right on her, and she landed on her behind on the porch and her shoes came off and everything. And now she's laying on I hear this whole noise. "Oh, Dr. L, Dr. L, help me, help me." I come running up and I look out the window. I said, "What happened?" She goes, "She tried to force her way into the house and I slammed the door on her." And I'm looking at her laying on the porch on her back and I says, "Oh," I said, nothing came of that. Oh, but that was the last we heard of the gypsies. But I'm telling you, this is what gypsies are all about. I know them. You ain't going to pull the wool over my eye. What they do, the only legitimate thing they try to do is pull dents out of cars. That's one of their other things, real cheaply. "I can fix the dent in your car. I can pop the hole, pull it out, and paint it over." They make that, but mostly the women are the ones that do the palm reading. They read palms. They tell fortunes. They're witches. And their husbands, really, the women do the bulk of the work and bring in most of the money. And they train the young ones how to steal. Well, I'm telling you people what gypsies are all about. And when gypsies grow up in a country and they're not contained, gypsies should be locked up in jail and killed if they don't reform. You can't allow this to exist, and even a pagan society that's not Catholic, that's got a natural law, is not going to put up with this type of behavior. Well, anyway, Sarkozy last week kicked the gypsies out of France, the one good thing he did, and the whole international community went nuts. The European Union is rebuking him. "How dare you? You're going against religious liberty. You're going against, you're a racist. You're going against these people." He's getting attacked from even the people in West Germany. The West Germans are attacking them. How wimpy have the Germans become? And I'm not talking to... I know there's a lot of Germans out there that don't like the gypsies neither. These are the leaders. Let this sermon be to warn all you people in Europe about your leaders. They're Freemasonic liberal bastards. They stink to the high heavens. And when you get away from the Catholic Church and the Catholic God, you get gypsies. You get Muslims. You get all kinds of infidels. You get people breaking the natural law all over the place. You get all kinds of thieveries and lies and homos. Broken marriages. People cheating on one another. And they're going against this guy now like he's the big Hitler. They're saying, "You're doing what Hitler did. You're persecuting these people." It's the first good thing he did, you see? And now they're criticizing him. And he's getting pilloried all over the place. The head of the European Union. "You're going against the Constitution of the European Union." Well, my hope is, for his own sake, of his own soul, get out of the European Union. Reject all these people's... Tender your resignation to the Masonic Lodge here and now and embrace the true Catholic faith and get back on the right path. If he did that, he'd have a chance to save his own soul, but I don't believe he's remained the president of France very long. There would be another one to take his place. But who cares about that? You got to do what is right. And he did one thing that is right amongst many things he did which are wrong. One other thing he did, well, I think that was one of the things. There's other things that, the other thing he's wrong on, you see, was the guys in Iran have the right idea about adultery. It's so bad that they punish severely the crime of adultery. And when adultery is being practiced massively to a very big scale and it's infecting society, you sometimes should even put a death penalty on it. Or at least the maiming or punishing of people to let them know that that's why in the Old Covenant they stoned adulterers. Jesus said you can have exceptions for mercy on certain people. And he was talking about, but he didn't let them go out and continue to commit adultery. He said to Mary Magdalene, go and sin no more. He didn't say you can continue to sin. And he wasn't against all punishment of adulterers. If adultery was rampant and infectious, then you have to start instituting some serious penalties. In Iran, they do that. They had an adulterer they caught, and they cut off her nose. And I think they put it on the front of Time magazine or something with her nose cut off and said, look how brutal Iran is. Brutal? That's not brutal. Let it show to you people what this, how evil adultery is. It's against the sixth commandment. It brings death to the soul if you're a Catholic. These Muslims are dead anyway against the faith, but it commits, it's a mortal sin. And it's showing you how evil it is. And then Sarkozy got angry. This is an evil thing he did. He criticized the Iranian president Mahmoud, and he told him, how dare you do this? This is evil. Then Mahmoud responds back and says, how dare you got to criticize us about morality when your wife is a prostitute or some Hollywood whore or prostitute? I don't know if that's true or not. It might be. But so he's getting back at him and saying, you people are so liberal that you look up to whores and prostitutes and you even take them as your wives and you exalt a prostitute. You look at the prostitute and the whore and you say these are normal. How dare you have the right to criticize me? And in this thing, the Iranian Muslim was better than the Freemasonic French guy who may call himself Catholic or not. I don't know. He's not Catholic. I don't care whether he calls himself Catholic or not. It's an insult, though. He's saying, I got one up. You people in the West are so full of sins against the natural law when it comes to homosexuality and adultery. How dare you criticize us about banning something that even the true God bans, even though neither of them know the true God? That's something very evil the French president did. Another thing the French president does that's evil, he supports the Holocaust. There's a lot of other things. It doesn't end, you see. That's why God's punishing these countries with, you see, you can get rid of the gypsies today, but you're going to still have the Muslims in there, and you're going to have homos, you're going to have Freemasons like himself in there, you're still going to have disorder, you're still going to have chaos and eternal damnation. And that's the most wicked thing that people can't see, that everybody in these, these countries are all on the road to hell. But what makes it even harder to convert, it makes it harder to convert people when they're breaking natural laws with impunity and obstinately. Well, anyway, here's something this guy did. The one good thing he did by kicking out these filthy Romani gypsies, and I don't care if it's an Italian gypsy or an Irish gypsy or a Hungarian gypsy, they are evil. Don't one lie to you. It's not a race. It's a religion. I know their religion. I know them well. Anyway, that's where we are with a few little of the political things that happened in the past week. Gypsies. The nice gypsies. You know what I say to these people that are supporting the gypsies? Why don't you move them into your living room? Why don't you rent them out, let them live on your property? Why don't you let them be your neighbors? And pretty soon you're going to find out things are disappearing pretty quick. What happened to the lawnmower? What happened to Junior's bike? What happened to my rake? What happened to my tissues? They'll steal anything. What happened to my tree I just planted on the front lawn?
It's gone.
It's gone. And that's not even talking about the curses that are going on inside of her family. You want to have the gypsies? They're all yours with the evil world. They're all yours with the evil world. The things that Hitler, they say, was wrong about, he was 100% right about. And that's why they hated him so much. They hated him for all the wrong reasons. They hated him because the things he was pointing out was exposing these bastards and how they were corrupting and still do corrupt. France yells about the Muslim problem. It's your own fault. God allowed them to infiltrate France because it's no longer Catholic. In a Catholic country, if you had Muslims in there, you would limit them and keep them in a ghetto. You wouldn't kill them unless they rised up against you and disturbed civil order and went against our faith publicly. You would shut them up in a ghetto. But now, you have no right to complain. Because what could these Freemasons or any of these people today stand on who believe in democracy, what could they stand on to isolate these people? Because they believe everyone has the freedom and the right to do anything they want. They have no law to hold them up. They got rid of every law when they get rid of, when they say we're free to do whatever we want, and God gives men the right to practice whatever God they want and to do filthy things. And God's punished them because of their false beliefs. And that's where we are today with that. All right, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.